Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the fraudulent mouth do I hate. You may be seated.
Good morning. The title of today's message is Make America Hate Again. And the scripture reading was short, but it was sweet and is the emphasis of today's theme. You might agree with today's message, and that would be all right. It's about time. Coming to the truth is sometimes on borrowed time. After a lifetime of lies. And that's called grace. It's coming to an understanding of unmerited favor. But better late than never. God created time, and there is a time to love and a time to hate. You either believe that as a Christian, or you might as well be an atheist. Love without hate, or vice versa, is a nullification of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. America used to hate what most people today love. This is somewhat of an election sermon leading up to my open letter to Donald Trump. If he doesn't get killed. Tomorrow night is the big debate, as you well know. And I was guessing that there ain't going to be no debates. So I still got maybe a day left for something to happen. I don't know what it would be. But we shall see. And I must give credit where credit is due for today's sermon title. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for your hatred of us Americans whom you consider deplorable. It's not just Trump supporters, but anyone who does not genuflect to the libertard agenda of anti-white and pro-global elitist is a stunning witness to mind control run amok. For so much newsworthy current events of a Jezebel anti-type, an anti-type is a New Testament parallel to the old, having so much enigmatic health concerns. Her mouth seems to be functioning like a high-performance Denny Crane. Now, if you don't know who Denny Crane is, that's a Jewish lawyer with a messianic complex. Not only are those not voting for Hillary a basket of deplorables, which had to be a premeditated jingoism, but the same comedy writer sideswiped us with the jingo, Make America Hate Again. Thank you, Hillary, again. The deplorable basket remark was so damning that she apologized. She didn't mean to say 50%. She meant 100%. And all sorts of yellow journalists, that's media whores, are jumping on her narcotic bandwagon to deplore half of America. They must be high as a kike on the gods of their choice. What are they trying to make America do again and again and again? They're trying to crucify Christ every day with an ever-increasing malignity. If you don't hate this slide into demonic government, then you need the mental floss to remove the junk from your brain. God's plan for the ages is that the nations of Israel come to a complete agreement with God. It's about time. 6,000 years for the Adamic race to be in accord with God. There will be no longer two opinions about anything. There will be no more agreeing to disagree. And everything has become new from God. He who reconciled us to himself in the Messiah, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18. The context is racial, and the us is us, not them. In case you haven't noticed, race is the main ingredient that is arbitrarily being stirred into the national pot. But there's much more to racism than racist or white supremacist. The witch's brew is full of ethnic supremacists, race baiters, affirmative action actors, and reverse racists. The white man has been singled out as the ultimate culprit for all the world's woes. Once again, a soundbite is a salvo of condemnation and shame when in fact it is a truism. And we should make America hate again. We should be proud to be white and superior in every way to every non-white subhuman. They are sub-level because God made us above them. Their problem is with what they think is an ancient sky god, not us. We believe God does not change. Thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7:6. But Pastor Downey, that's so racist. Yes, it is. And you should hate those who have convinced you otherwise. They have conditioned and programmed you to have a mentality contrary to the mind of Christ. And it is increasingly inculcated in this era of Obama youth to hate hate groups without sensing their own hypocrisy. They have made America hate itself for being right with their God. Racial realities are simply taboo subjects of racial reconciliation, being that there is really only one race of man, with all other categories, the bastardized taxonomy of mutant mongrels. The interpolative one blood of Acts 17:26 is a hoax. Therefore, one can snivel about racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it, but it just doesn't work anymore. No matter how many times Hillary says that. The aforementioned isms and phobias are all biblically advocated. Their old and worn-out diatribes against hate have run its course. And the white waters of a raging river are now nothing more than a little puddle of mud. The misguided sheep have been led to the slaughterhouse of ruin, and all the millions of dollars that have poured down the drain of racial equality, religious universalism, and education can be translated into inner city rot, riots, and refugee madness. Surely one can see in this election year of 2016 that there is no one defending the white race from a Christian standpoint other than Christian identity. I went to school in Minnesota in the 1960s. And it was a great state for white people. But cultural Marxism entered the state, and along with it, the Jewish conspiracy to change the Scandinavian demographics. Who would have thought that one of the largest Somalian enclaves in the country would be St. Cloud, Minnesota? And yet, there it is, smack dab in the heart of Swedish, Norwegian, and Germanic culture. Got culture war? And who in their right mind would think that these primitive Africans would ever acclimate to white Christian American values? Well, it would be those bleeding hearts who think they know more than God Almighty, who warned our ancestors, "They shall not dwell in thy land." In 2014, these Islamic mongrels had grown in such numbers that they applied for city permits to start construction on a bigger and better mosque. At the same time, 9 Somalis were convicted of plotting to join ISIS. These were not impressionable youth, but determined terrorists who hated our nation, a nation who lavished them with charity and luxuries not found in their native lands. They are the perfect pawns in the hands of their Jewish handlers. Last Sunday, once again, one of these subhuman ingrates went on a stabbing spree at a local mall, severely injuring 9 people and blurting Allah. An employee at the JCPenney store said, quote, "There was blood everywhere. It was just honestly a really scary experience," end quote. Well, of course it was. We let them dwell in our land. And when we do that, the white man's Bible says it's going to get scary, that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable or deplorable things, which they have done for their small g gods, so that you would sin against the Lord your God. Do you think the Baal priest of the local churches or the city fathers in St. Cloud who issued a building permit feared the God of Israel? Stop for a moment and think about being attacked by a knife-wielding maniac, your body being violently pierced and punctured multiple times with a kitchen knife, and all you can see is red before you go into shock. And it's all because America coddles the gods of those who hate us. I chose not to be ventilated by an enemy of our God, and that is why I can tell Hillary Clinton I will do everything I can to make America hate again. And wouldn't you know, the shopping mall was a gun-free zone. Don't you just hate the insanity? Poor old and decrepit Hillary sees a racist under every bed. She and her co-conspirator-in-chief did in fact create ISIS and making U.S. foreign policy to support the opposition of the legitimate government of Syria in a civil war. It was a secret until Judicial Watch secured documents from an August 2012 Defense Intelligence Report, which stated that the Syrian opposition was dominated by Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the Islamic State of Iraq, groups that merged and morphed into what today we call ISIS, which openly states that the policy of the United States and its allies was to support the opposition to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. On September 17th, this year, Obama directed the U.S. Air Force to bomb Syrian army positions, killing 63 soldiers, putting an end to the recent ceasefire. In a lame excuse, the State Department said they thought they were hitting ISIS targets. Whose side is the U.S. oligarchy really on? Subsequently, the bombings continued. One rescue worker described the incendiary bombs as rain falling from the sky, as an aid convoy was pelted, killing 21, that would have brought food and medicine to 78,000 civilians. The American military blamed the Syrian and Russian forces for the attack. And by the way, you're not hearing this in any of the mainstream media sources. However, Russia released drone footage from the incident, which it says shows a militant ISIS pickup truck traveling next to the convoy carrying a heavy mortar, which they say caused the tragedy. In retaliation for American duplicity, the Russians called an airstrike on September 22nd, just a couple of days ago, killing over two dozen Israeli and Western intel officers at a foreign military operations room who are there for the sole purpose of giving support to ISIS. The same aliens in our land that hate us and want to kill us. Besides the alien invasion in Minnesota, there were other terrorist attacks last weekend in New Jersey and New York, both having ISIS affiliations. Hillary has retorted that these associations with her capacity as Secretary of State and terrorism is just nonsense. Likewise, the secret that can no longer be kept hidden about her health is referred to as a paranoid fever dream. She said, "This is what happens when you treat the National Enquirer like gospel. There are libel laws, and she's a lawyer, so what's she waiting for if she's been libeled?" Her problem with wanting to be the queen of America is that she treats the gospels like a cheap tabloid rag. Her righteousness is indeed as filthy rags, and yet she exudes the spirit of filth. She hates the gospels and therefore has no desire to repent of anything. She is the change agent for the adversaries of God. She mocks those who deny the absurdity of Sandy Hook. To keep alive the lies of those who create false flags, and then come up with draconian measures to disarm America. This Jezebel wants to be president of the United States Incorporated and has no love for its founders and their posterity. She will be America's first female dictator. We already have America's first black dictator, who now wants to increase the number of Syrian and all other alien refugees to 110,000. The real threat to our election process is that the Obama regime has ordered these aliens to be put on the fast track for citizenship. Federal workers have been ordered to work overtime and that they be located in key election states in order to vote. And who do you think is paying for this massive logistical overnight miracle? When the IRS sends out a letter, it's addressed dear taxpayer, because it's a legal term designating the modern slave. You have no identity. Dear Mr. ISIS, welcome to America. We need to make America hate again. We hate the literal changing complexion from light to dark. We hate parasites on a host country. We hate them that hate Jesus Christ. Since the inside job of 9/11, the wished-for dialectic of fighting the Jews' war in the Middle East, the shadow government in Washington, D.C. has destroyed 7 countries, killed millions of people, and displaced millions. Where are they going? They've gone to the continent of fear, Europe. Before their massive arrivals, there were no epidemics of chaos. In the last 2 years, there have been 443 murders and 18 terror attacks. It is now open season on white women of Europe to be raped, tortured, beaten, brutalized on the streets by roving gangs of swarthy Muslims showing their appreciation for the liberal standards taken by the authorities to do nothing. These mongrel rapists are not a fringe minority of the poor huddled masses yearning to breathe free. On the contrary, they are the norm, the mainstream of sand niggers. In Europe, rape was against the law. It's against God's law. But in Islamic and Jewish jurisdictions, it is celebrated as the law of the land. You get raped, too bad. Do you want to just love helping the ungodly? I know I'm preaching to the choir. But some stray that wandered into this article might want to read 2 Chronicles 19:2, which we're all very familiar with. It's not Germany anymore. It's not Sweden anymore. It's not France anymore. In fact, the French Prime Minister, the prime puppet, said, "The times have changed and France is going to have to live with terrorism." End quote. Can you believe that? They're going to have to live with a reversal of Romans 13:3 because they don't have the hate to be a terror unto the evil. Will we be asking if this is America anymore in the next few years? Hey, wake up and smell the coffee. It hasn't been America since hate was outlawed by political correctness. The question really is, will you be lying in a puddle of blood after being stabbed and raped and have the shallow countenance to say, "Thank you"? Just live with the knife penetrating your back, please. I'm not finished with Jezebel Clinton. Her Jew scriptwriter sanctimoniously intoned in her August 8th diatribe against the so-called phantom alt-right, the alternative right-wing. Quote, "You know," this is Hillary speaking, "you know, I've stood by President Obama's side as he made the toughest decisions a commander-in-chief has to make. In times of crisis, our country depends on steady leadership, clear thinking, calm judgment, because one wrong move can mean the difference between life and death. The last thing we need in the Situation Room is a loose cannon who can't tell the difference between fact and fiction, and who buys so easily into the racially tinged rumors. Someone so detached from reality should never be in charge of making decisions that are as real as they come, end quote. The only crisis we've had in this country for the last 100 years have all been engineered by a rogue government that has no moral compass or a Christian rudder. Alex de Tocqueville, French diplomat and historian, circa 1805 to 1859, said in his well-known analysis of the American phenomenon, "America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great," end quote. At one time, America was good at knowing when it was time to hate. When we lost that ability to hate what God hates, we ceased being good. In fact, we've become good for nothing. He also made another brilliant observation that rings so true, that, quote, "The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money." Boy, have they done that. The good name of de Tocqueville has been hijacked, like so many other stalwart men of Christian character, by the satanic disinformation of Masons. He spent 9 months here studying what made America tick. And after writing the aforementioned quote above about why we were a great nation, he concluded that it was the Christian church. Now, the Masonic spin doctors came to quite another conclusion for their own nefarious reasons, with the assertion that there was no record of de Tocqueville ever saying this, and what he really meant was the good works of moral people through the fraternal organizations like the Lodge. Well, actually, there is a record of proof, and the Masons are shown to have no compunction at bearing false witness. The French statesman wrote in the same paper he gave to Parliament about our greatness the following, quote, "I went at your bidding," meaning Parliament, "and passed through their thoroughfares of trade. I ascended their mountains and went down their valleys. I visited their manufactories, their commercial markets, and emporiums of trade. I entered their judicial courts and legislative halls, but I sought everywhere in vain until I entered the church. It was there, as I listened to the soul-elevating principles of the gospel of Christ, as they fell from Sabbath to Sabbath upon the masses of the people, that I learned why America was great and free and why France was a slave," end quote. How can anyone not hate the Masonic revisionism of rewriting history or taking away our heritage, as Marx advocated, in order to easily persuade or dumb down the masses? De Tocqueville visited America when the pulpits were fresh from a revolution and on fire with the gospel of repentance and salvation. America at that time was experiencing a revival, what's been called the Second Great Awakening from 1824 to 1835. Commensurate with the formation of the anti-Masonic party. Why? Because white Christian Americans had the smarts to hate the evil that was worming its way into the body politic. It's those who cry anti-defamation the loudest who are in league with the satanic game of defamation. Today, Christian Identity is the only body of true believers that has a perfect hatred of the counterfeit church, a church that whores itself to the unfruitful branches of government. We count them as our enemies. Ask our poor, dumb friends in churchianity, do you love God? And they most likely will say, yes, we love God with all our heart and soul. And then ask them, did you know that in order to love God, you have to hate something? And their dumbness will bubble up to the surface and they'll say something like, we don't hate anybody. We hate the sin, but love the sinner. Ah, they admit they hate something, but disconnect the cause and effect. And then tell them Psalms 97:10, which says, ye that love the Lord hate the evil. The Lord preserves the souls of his saints. He shall deliver them from the hand of sinners. That's from the Septuagint. Therefore, it can only be the person, the perpetrator of evil and or sin, and in this case, a plurality of sinners. America cannot be great again unless she can hate again. The Greek word for hate is mesio, number 3404, and simply means to detest. According to Webster's 1828, detest means to throw or thrust away. America was good in 1776 because our founders threw away the shackles of evil, which was the persecution of Christian liberties, as enumerated in many documents confirming the principles of biblical love, or biblical law, rather. America is no longer a reflection of good, but evil, and as such, loves those who hate the Lord. But we can still have a greater calling and divine purpose if we love God and hate those who hate the Lord. Sin is the transgression of the law, and the wages of sin is death. If you love death more than life, you deserve to be in a Jim Jones cult. However, you may not think you're in a death cult, when in reality the cult of political correctness rejects and removes hate from your mind. They have removed the mechanism for life. If you don't mind putting your hand in a rattlesnake pit, then be my guest. Personally, I detest it. And did not Jesus refer to his enemies as a generation of vipers? Don't you just love the insanity? Let's embrace the flood of serpent refugees into our communities, and they can become cobra Christians. Someone so detached from reality who doesn't think the Bible is racially tinged is a loose cannon, jeopardizing the life or death situation America faces today. When we are inundated with poisonous snakes in our national living room, what makes you think you're not going to get bit? The reality is that there is a time to hate. And the time to hate is now, if you are white and clueless as to which direction you must go. The choice is not between thesis and antithesis, it's between good and evil. Dialectics can only give you a prefabricated synthesis and a rigged election. The election of God, on the other hand, is the predestination of racially tinged scripture. The truth is not littered with junk. And it can make you free if you take out the garbage. Lord knows it's about time for true Israel to once again throw off the shackles of Antichrist propaganda. We face the same decision Adam and Eve had to make. Only this time, the warped and perverted world of serpentine government or governments will be so hated by a remnant of overcomers that the Adamic people will make the right choice and decide to go with the tree of life. There are many propositions as to what the tree of life encompasses, but racially, it is maintaining the pure genetic integrity of your family tree. Let's face it, Hillary and her Wall Street gangbangers have done everything in their power to destroy the traditional nuclear family, which has prospered throughout all of history. But now it takes a village of jungle bunnies to raise your white child. Oppose the surrender of your children with the hate of King David. Do we hate the kidnapping but love the kidnapper? There's way too many of our people buying into the fantasy world of a Marxist utopia in which families no longer exist. The evil design is to destroy the Abrahamic covenant whereby in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. By in thee, they mean to tell you that all people groups or mongrel cultures will be blessed by none other than the Antichrist Jews, the Christ killers. Well, that can't be true because it's never happened. Jews have never blessed anybody. Just the opposite. Jews have been what the Bible calls them, quote, a reproach and a proverb, a taunt, and get this, a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. Is it insane not to hate a curse or what? If Jews are a curse, then it's impossible for them to bless anyone, including themselves. The context of Genesis 12:3 is the spiritually enlightened Israelites, that is, white Christians being a blessing to the rest of mankind or Adam kind. That is why Christ came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and we should too, to bless them with the good news of their identity and that they are the true heirs of the promise. The only promise wolves in sheep's clothing can give you is a rapture float into outer space and a pair of socks under the Christmas tree. You are not a member of the floating flock if you hate what God hates. Which begs the question, what does God hate? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Mark. God hates what Hillary loves. Jews, faggots, Zur immigrants, feminist, jihadist, you name it. Wait a minute, Jews? Aren't they God's chosen people and won't accept Christ until he returns to earth again? No. They perpetuate the lie that they are the tribe of Judah and hence Jews or Jews, an invented slang word which does not belong in the Bible. That's why Jesus was a Judahite, not a Jew. But that fraud was predicated on I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, wink, wink. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews or Judahites and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, your mongrel Jew. John knew they would claim to be Judah, but they weren't. They were Edomites, the descendants of Esau, who mixed his seed, a breed of mongrels, would pretend to be something they were not. Should we not hate them who are congenital liars? We can't serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Esau is on top of the mountain right now through the pernicious treadmill of usury banking. You can't love God and the Jew at the same time. You must hate one or the other, if you're a hate-filled Christian. And boy, does my cup runneth over with hate when I discovered the truth. Nobody likes being fooled. Nobody likes being lied to. And nobody wants to remain a fool once they understand the truth. The reality is that God loves the true Israel and hates the fake one. The oracles of the word of the Lord to Israel, in other words, the white race, through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau, the Jews. And I have made his mountains or nations desolate, desolation, and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, meaning Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation, how long? Forever! So let us be indignant as well and hate them in perpetuity. I don't see how anybody can't agree with me after a clear presentation of facts and logic, unless their minds have been so mongrelized with the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. To turn America around, we need to make America hate those who hate the truth. Not just the sin of lawlessness will be hated, but the sinner lawbreaker as well. But just because we hate does not mean that we should be shaken in mind or be troubled. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The apostasy, or falling away, is here now, as evidenced by 35,000 denominations of never-ending splinters, the abundance of self-righteous know-it-all pastors. Don't hold your breath waiting for an individual son of perdition, as the expression is collective. Judas was the son of perdition and is represented today by those who have fallen away from the gospel message. The sign of perdition is found in Philippians 1:28, where it's talking about our Christian unity. Quote, "And in nothing terrified by your or our adversaries, which is to them an evident token or sign of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." I think Christian identity signifies this mindset of being God-fearing men rather than fearing the terror of tyrants, especially this myriad of false flags in recent years. How many shaken their boots for fear of the Jews, for daring to deny these sons of Judas their de facto chosen status? Do not fear the cowardly, spineless, parasite Jew, for they can only fight through money-grubbing mercenaries like the CEO of Wells Fargo Bank. Now, I told my wife about a Senate hearing on C-SPAN I was watching the other day over the Wells Fargo fiasco, the scandal of millions and millions of dollars. And it was so outrageous, the corruption of the banking industry bilking millions of customers while the CEO makes hundreds of millions of dollars. It's like the bigger the crime, the less likely it is that the top executives will ever go to jail. They're just too rich to go to jail. One would think that crime pays. It's like the more evil they are, the less chance for justice. But I'm telling you, there's not enough hate. We just don't have enough hate right now to put the evil behind bars or to string them up on the nearest lamppost. I said that because I remember George Poppy Bush once saying, "If people knew what we really are doing, they'd hang us at the nearest lamppost." What good is a jury that has a soft spot in their heart for even the wicked? That jury is not only good for nothing, it's an accomplice to evil. We hear the common refrain, "Well, we'll win in the end." That is true. But I ask you, why not end it now? All it takes is a little hate. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." 2 Thessalonians 2:7. In the King James, "letteth" means to restrain or hinder. In plain English, it means anyone who is hindering the Holy Spirit is going to be eliminated. Christ is not coming back as a mild-mannered lamb. He's returning as the Lion of Judah to consume the wicked with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy them with the brightness of his coming. Where have we heard something similar to "taken out of the way"? When your indoor trash, your trash receptacle begins to stink, you take it outside and you put it in a garbage can because it smells bad. You hate the foul stench. And the same is true with the new world odor. In Orwell's 1984, there was a fusion of opposites. For example, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and I threw this one in, stink is perfume. This is the action of simultaneously accepting two mutually contradictory beliefs as correct. And that is how the enemy brainwashes us. Society believes that love is good and hate is evil. Two truisms of political correctness that accepts the coexistence of opposites. The problem with this is that both love and hate are contextually good and therefore are not mutually exclusive. We have to define our terms. As I quoted Ecclesiastes 3:8 earlier, there is a time for both, and have the seal of approval from God. In fact, if we love God, we hate evil, and that's the time to hate, to detest, to throw away. This is scarcely stated more eloquently than the Declaration of Independence, to wit, quote, "Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government, and to provide new guards for their future security," end quote. To throw off is to throw away, to detest, to hate. The absolute despotism in America today understands quite well how much people hate their evil. That is why they must demonize the peasants of the middle class, who must gather their own straw now to make bricks for the state. Should they dare to blow a whistle on wrongdoers or apply a redress of grievances, they shall be labeled. Wow, I'm so scared of being labeled. There are three elements being entertained in today's message. And they are reality, mentality, and Christianity. Any two without the other is illusion. That's what magicians create. You can't hate if you can't discern reality, if your mind is manipulated, and if you're an apostate, hyphenated, denominational Judeo-Christian. Your nation race is a fiction when your identity has been robbed and spoiled. The nation of free enterprise that I grew up in is disappearing. It's being replaced by the United States of apathy. Mystery Babylon is a criminal cabal running the global economy, and they choose the winners and losers. But to maintain the game, they have to fudge reality and lobotomize the brain. The godless technocrats realize that they must inculcate a hive mentality as soon as a toddler can walk. Recently, some kids were packing some gums into school, and they chewed it in the shape of a gun, for which they were summarily suspended. Can you believe it? John Rappaport made some interesting observations about this growing menace. For many years, schools in America have practiced zero tolerance for anything smacking of a pistol with swift repercussions. The idea is that society can be conditioned to forsake guns to eliminate crime. The premise, however, is that we are no different than Pavlov's dogs salivating at the ringing of a bell. If the principle of the greatest good for the greatest number is the accepted standard, then the model can expand and presume to be good. But what if they voted for a program that would eradicate racism? That as a biological impulse, it could be surgically or chemically removed from your brain. Have you taken your anti-racist pill today? Of course, it's preposterous to think that hate could entirely be wiped out of man's consciousness. Nevertheless, there are mad scientists who are very serious about altering our minds and our perception of reality. Although dangerous and absurd, it is now science. They intend to program our brains to accommodate their new world agenda. Whoever opposes that agenda, that is, hates it, will be classified as having a mental disorder, which will either be corrected or deleted, like a computer. In their totalitarian state, there will be no independent thought necessary or even possible. So far, we are nearing this reality with peer pressure, legislation, coercion, political correctness, surveillance, and a dumbed-down education. It's not that we're really dumb, but numbed. And there's a number of ways to anesthetize society. The enemy of all this hogwash is freedom, which our ancestors paid for with their lives. Did you know that not one university has a course on the inalienable right to life? Not even Harvard School of Law, medicine, or theology will teach the ethics or lack thereof of abortion. That's how far we have descended into the demented malaise of altruism without Christian morality. The reason global elitists want to reduce the world's population to a manageable 500 million is because we are too dangerous to live free, hating evil, hating what they do. And God's people obeying the divine law is the antithesis of wickedness. The wicked are safe if we do not hate them, but we have to be free to do so. We are free when we obey our Lord and Savior. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. The enemy of our race can only employ behavior modification in us in such a way that invites the temptation to disobey the commands of God. We then become slaves of the world. If we cannot hate our own self-imposed bondage, the programmers have won. We cannot free our race if we're not free. The last 30 years or so, we've been quite familiar with the occult technology of mind control, from MK Ultra to subliminals to electronic transmissions. And by that, I mean primarily television. Even the old prophecy teachers warn us of the mark of the beast being a microchip implant the size of the grain of rice have become outdated science. Devils in white smocks and secret laboratories are now talking about frequency entrainment technologies and emotion mind manipulation techniques. The idea of implants is not new. Early primitive attempts to cure mental illness was shock therapy and crude surgeries. In 1964, a truly audacious stunt or scientific experiment was conducted by Dr. Jose Delgado, not with a lab rat or a monkey, but with a bull, the kind that charge matadors. Joseph P. Farrell writes of the incident, quote, "To drive his point home, he performed an experiment in Spain in a bullfighting ring by implanting a clunky electrode in a bull's brain. Delgado then bravely entered the ring, flashing not a matador's cape, but carrying only a remote control and a few buttons. The bull, of course, charged Delgado, who remained calm, simply standing there as the animal charged, coming within a few feet, and then Delgado pressed a button, and the charged bull stopped in its tracks." Dr. Peter Bregan wrote of Delgado in his Twisted Treatise, saying, quote, "We need a program of psychosurgery for political control of our society. The purpose is physical control of the mind. Everyone who deviates from the given norm can be surgically mutilated. The individual may think that the most important reality is his own existence, but this is only his personal point of view. This lacks historical perspective. Man does not have the right to develop his own mind. This kind of liberal orientation has great appeal. We must electrically control the brain. Someday, armies and generals will be controlled by electric stimulation of the brain," end quote. This must have impressed another madman, Zbigniew Ziebrzynski, David Rockefeller's right-hand man and foreign policy advisor to Jimmy Carter and Barry Satoru to this day, who genuflected in his book, Between Two Ages, all about the technocratic control of society. And one of the technology areas specifically implicated in his book were precisely the brain manipulation technologies. If you haven't heard of the transhumanist movement, not to be confused with transgender movement, both of which are abominations, we once again see man playing God with the assumption that science can extend life or even create it. The brain is often compared to a computer, and this new technology is using the cyber language of hacking into the brain and interfacing with a neural lace, a mesh-like device that would be implanted in a person directly through the bloodstream, controlling the release of certain neurons using the power of thought. Nanotechnology. Experts have already developed an ultra-fine mesh of electronics that can seamlessly merge with the brain. This mesh has been tested on mice. If you don't know what nano is, it's a unit of measure. And just to give you an idea as to how small, how microscopic a nano is, it's about the length that a fingernail grows in 1 second. Now let's think vaccinations and eliminate the idea of implants the size of a grain of rice. Imagine a technology that exists in the dream world of Jewish communism to inject nanobots through forced vaccinations for a new alleged strain of flu that can only be cured with their magic serum. However, the serum is really just a placebo. The construction, or AI, artificial intelligence, a neural nanotechnology mesh, then begins to work symbiotically on your brain without your informed or implied consent. In essence, a wireless digital brain upgrade. Would the power-hungry turn their backs on their own people in such a diabolical scheme? Yes, if they want to keep their power forever. They gave us a clue with the basket of deplorables remark. Stronger together, anyone? Get your flu shot. Wouldn't it be cool to send text and emails just by thinking about it? To not only send thoughts, but to receive them? Well, think again and carefully. This would open the door for systems manager to remotely read your mind, to map brain functions, and to manipulate how you feel about anything. They could even kill you with the flick of a switch. There could be a historic schism between spiritual people like us and electronic humans. But the latter will fall victim to the increasing loss of independent thought. Their feelings of love towards God and their hatred of evil could be programmed out of their mind. Far-fetched? Perhaps. But like I said, the inertia of such things is already in motion. Men and brethren, what shall we do? I believe God anticipated this juncture in history and gave us the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the strategies of the false accuser in the evil day. We are indeed between two ages in which now the kingdom of heaven suffers violence like never before. And violent men take it by force. Will you detest this godless future of megalomaniacs and a mindless life? Here's the catch-22. The false accusers may promise you an extended lifespan of 1,000 years or more, but you have to surrender your brain to their hive. You may never have another hate speech in your vocabulary, or racist tendencies, or religious bigotry to false gods, or revulsion of perverts. But you will not be free. What does the truth do for us? It makes us free. By the grace of God, we have an alternative choice to an evil world and can access the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the pure, unadulterated motivation from God, a mentality to separate ourselves from the corruptions of our faith. In John's vision, he saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4. This prophecy has already come and gone with the persecution of the early first century Christians, and Christianity prevailed in Europe for about 1,000 years without the devils of Jewry. Thank God we have that history as our model to again stand our ground and hate the beast. We can be metaphorically beheaded today by the wiles of people telling you lies about what they can offer you. But there is a time to hate those who come in the name or authority of Christ, when in reality they come in the name of Judas. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Do not be deceived by Judas Christianity, for you will love the Jew and hate Jesus Christ. If you are white, don't let anybody tell you hate is evil. Hate is the righteous weapon to destroy evil. May you find it in your heart now. Thank you.